Okay, most everybody. Okay. Anybody who's not from Indiana? We got. I've met a few people from different places. Ohio. What other places we got?
Iowa.
Iowa. Wow. My dad and my mom is from Sioux City, Iowa. My dad's from Sioux City, Nebraska. And I told my father he wouldn't let a river stop him from getting that woman. He crossed that river and got that woman. That's my mother. And cool. Where are you guys from?
Michigan.
Okay. Anywhere else?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Both my books, you have great surfing in Costa Rica, just in case you didn't know that. And both my books are in Spanish, and so make sure you get a hold of me, I'll get you some in Spanish, and we're actually getting a lot of feedback from Mexico and Peru, places using the books down there and stuff, and do that, okay? If you've heard me speak before, tomorrow morning, I'm going to give a nuts and bolts talk on how to do some actual witnessing. I'm going to give a different talk tonight and the next two talks after that. Tomorrow going to be all different stuff. So if you've ever heard me before, you haven't heard these talks before. So some new stuff. We're going to challenge you a little bit, and then we're going to step up and do some. This talk is called Act Up, and it's all going to be out of the book of Acts. Okay, so let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the sure word, Father God, of Genesis through Revelations. And Father, we must know this word better as we're going to be people of action. And that's what the book of Acts is. It's action. They found the answer. They were led by the Holy Spirit. They hit the streets. They hit the communities to tell people the truth about Jesus Christ. And it was we in an evangelism conference. But even, Father, beyond that, as people who follow you, because it's very simple, Father, that when we are followers of yours, you automatically make us fishers of men. It goes with the territory. And as one guy said one time to me, he said, if you're not fishing, he said, you're not following. And folks, Father, we need followers, but followers who fish. And we can get a great amount of teaching and truth out of your scriptures, Father God, as we begin to learn this. So we thank you for it. We ask it in the great name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen. Okay, all right, grab your Bibles. The whole talk is out of your Bible, okay? So grab your Bible. Let's go to the book of Acts, all right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Go to Acts chapter 1. So make sure there's enough light in here so people can read the word. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Thank you for the lights. And I'm just going to bounce through a bunch of verses during this talk just to challenge you with some things, encourage you with some things, and let's see what happens. Let's go to verse 8, okay, a verse many of us know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth, okay? The Holy Ghost comes upon your power to be witnesses is what it says. This is what this conference is about. Is that correct? Correct. We're going to have to witness for him. When you dig into the Greek underneath that, the word is martus underneath that, okay? It can mean a spectator of something, but three times in the Bible, the word is translated martyr. It's where we get the word martyr from, all right? So when you see the word witnesses here, it's where we get the martyr from. Why would witnesses and witnessers, why would they be martyred? Why? Why is that someone that Lucifer wants off planet Earth quickly? Why? Because why? Okay, help me. Because why? What's that? Because they work. Take it from Lucifer's perspective. Who does he need to shut up? The person that goes to church every Sunday and goes home and all they worry about is their job and just putting food on the table and nothing else? Or who does he need to shut up? Who is it? It's witnessers, it's people who share truth about Jesus Christ, because when you plant that seed, the God of this universe can take that seed and make it grow. Is that correct? That's correct. Did it not happen in your life? It happened in this man's life. I'm so thankful to the four men who witnessed me at Auburn University years ago. I'm so thankful they were witnessers and brought into my life, but I know that someone, Satan, would like to shut up. Okay, how about you? Okay, see, that's why the martyrs, study any of the great martyrs, the Fox's Book of Martyrs, who were always the people killed? Those who were boldly proclaiming the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I want to live a life that Satan wants to take out of this place. Yeah, right? Is that right? That's right. And we want to live a life like that. But he can't touch me until God says he can touch me. You see? But I want to live a life he would want to take out as a witnesser, as we can be martyrs for Jesus Christ. There's a lady in Greenville, South Carolina, because what it says is, in all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we reach our local people first before we begin to move out and do that. I know a lady in Greenville, South Carolina. She's a mama. Her whole goal is to reach her street for Jesus Christ. That's her whole goal. She prays for every single person on the street. All right. She witnesses, verbally witnesses the people on the street. She found out every birthday of every single person on the street. She bakes cakes, cookies, and pies and blesses people, gives tracts, gives books. This is what this mama does. She has seen two entire households come to the Lord Jesus Christ, plugged into her local church, and now she's reaching all the rest of the houses on her street. See the mindset there? See, the mindset is here first before we walk out and go somewhere else to do that. I was here in Indiana. I was up in Fort Wayne, actually. And I was speaking at Taylor University Fort Wayne, but I spoke at a youth group at a church that was up there while I was up there. And the kids had all gone on a mission trip, and I believe it was Costa Rica. They had all gone, okay? So 300 kids go to Costa Rica, witnessing for Jesus Christ, handing out their Spanish tracts, having interpreters and everything else, and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've been home for 9 months. So I asked the kids, out of you 300 kids who went witnessing, okay, now that you're back in America, I asked them first, I said, what is the biggest obstacle to overseas witnessing? What's the biggest obstacle? Yeah, it's not culture. It's not culture because a lot of people are still intrigued with America and stuff, and Americans like that. It's always language. So that means the advantage we have witnessing in America for the most parts of America is what? Is language. They can actually understand us and do that. I said, okay, since you've been back home in Fort Wayne and people can actually understand you here, out of you 300 people, how many of you people have boldly shared your faith with at least one lost person in 9 months since you have been back here in Indiana? And out of 300 people, because I told them not to lie to me before I had them raise their hands up, how many people raised their hands up out of 300? Zero. That's exactly right. Zero. So your Jesus Christ is good enough for your mission trip to Zimbabwe, to China, to to Costa Rica, but your Jesus Christ is not good enough for Indianapolis. I beg to differ. Jesus Christ is good enough anywhere we will take him. There's always people willing to hear if we'll bring the truth. That's one of the things that blew me when I started witnessing 12 or 13 years ago. I thought no one was going to talk to me. Truth of the matter is, almost everybody does. Almost everyone does. Why? They live in the exact same world we do. They see 9/11. They see Katrina. Just met a guy on the train in the Atlanta airport today that lived in Louisiana. 3 weeks before Katrina, moved to Lake Pontchartrain, right outside of Katrina. 3 weeks before Katrina, Katrina came through, wiped out everything. Literally lost everything. 100% of what he owned. I talked to a guy today on the train. Doing that. Think about that, okay? They see Miramar like we're seeing Miramar. They see the Chinese earthquake. They want to know what is going on. Folks, I know what's going on. You know what's going on. We're a day closer to Jesus Christ coming back than we were yesterday, aren't we? Yes, we are. Okay, I don't know the exact time. I don't need to know the exact time. Because if we knew the exact time, we'd put it on cruise control. And we'd cruise control our way through this life until it got close. Okay, and then all of a sudden, okay, let's pick up the pace because it's about to end here. That's why God doesn't allow us to do it, because we're still wrapped in flesh. We don't need cruise control, okay? We know we're a day closer to Jesus Christ. 150,000 people died today. The question is, where are they going, okay? Go to Acts chapter 3. Go to Acts 3. Go to verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. One of the main things to remember when we're out there talking to people, we have to talk about, okay, fulfilled prophecy. Because they want to know, why is this the right answer? But if I can tell you things that were predicted hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years ago that have come true in Jesus Christ, now it just sets this apart from all the other religious faiths that we're talking about. And very important when we do this with Jewish people, I'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow, okay? So what's Paul doing here? He's talking about the fulfilled prophecies of Jesus Christ. This is the one you were waiting on. Okay, and he's the one that fulfilled all those prophecies, Jesus Christ, okay? When Andy was given it, didn't you like that talk on Andy that Andy just gave, okay, about the great American myth, okay? We all think we're good enough. And if you think you're a good person, you don't think you need to repent of your sins because you don't think you're all that bad. Or if you even have sin, okay, or the generic, oh, we've all sinned, one of those generic statements, okay? But see, what's he talking about here is repentance, okay? It's always key to talk about, but if you don't talk about the law in the Ten Commandments, they don't see why they need to repent and walk away from that, okay? Go to Acts chapter 4, go to verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold, in prison, until the next day, for it was now eventide, evening. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000, okay? Persecution comes to those who witness. Yes or no? Okay, how many people just know of a situation, without a doubt, you've been persecuted just because you shared Jesus Christ with somebody? Raise your hand if you know that, okay? Okay, 2 Timothy 3 says, those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So I ask my friends sometimes, hey, by the way, how's the persecution going in your life? And if I don't have any answers to that, okay, I begin to ask, well, wait a minute, how godly are you living for Jesus Christ? Okay. See, I don't go out there to seek trouble on the streets. Okay, I don't go seek it, but it seems to find you when you stand up for Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Yeah, it seems to just find you because it's not a battle of flesh and blood. It's a what? It's a spiritual battle. Satan and the demons try to get you off the streets. Okay, off talking to people. So what can I do? Can I get someone to laugh at you? Can I do this? Can I get a policeman to mess with you? What can I do to get you off the hunt and do that, okay? So, but what happened when they got heard? Many who heard, what's it say? Believed. Many who heard believed. Persecution is not a bad thing. Just remember that. Persecution is not a bad thing. In one of my books, I have a story in there of a gentleman. He was a postal delivery guy, and he heard one of my talks, and every Christmas, he would give Christmas cards to everyone on his route and stuff like that, in kind of a nice little generic Christmas thing, da-da-da. Well, he heard me speak, and he decided he had to change that. So in every single card, he put something like, you know, if you died tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven? If you don't know, please let me know and let me help you with that, okay? So he put it in every single mailbox on his route right before Christmas. And he told me that I got a lot of interesting responses, good ones, most everything, but all of a sudden, someone didn't like it. And they called his boss at the Postal Service, said, hey, I didn't like this guy doing this, da-da-da. And the Postal Service, well, he has the right to do that. He's got free speech, he has the right to do that. Well, the guy didn't like the answer. He went another step above the layer of management, got up there. Well, this guy got suspended, okay, for what he had done. He got suspended with pay for what he had done. That's called a vacation, right? So then with pay, that's a vacation where I come from. Take it. And so he got suspended with pay. They searched the whole thing out. And when they searched the thing out, all they could find out that he had done, ready for this, is that he delivered mail without postage. That's all they could figure he did wrong because he just put it in the boxes and didn't have postage on it, okay? So he delivered mail without postage. That was all they could figure out he had done. Well, when he comes back to work, everybody at work wants to know, where have you been? Why have you been gone for it? So he got to witness to all the other Postal Service people. Yeah. Then he went back on his route again. Everyone want to know, where have you been? Okay. So he said him getting suspended for the week or 2 weeks, whatever it was, okay, opened up more doors for him than in even the little cards did that he put in the mailboxes. You see how persecution can work for the glory of God? Okay, so don't worry about when persecution comes. Okay, Father, how are you going to glorify your name in this situation? Okay, we stay faithful when the times of persecution come, okay? Go to chapter 4 again. Go to verse 8. Then Peter, filled with what? The Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, okay, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, the miracle that they had just done, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the what? The boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with who? Jesus Christ, okay? They marveled at that, okay? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 41 times in the book of Acts. 41 times, only 28 chapters there, okay? And 41 times mentioned there, okay? Because you, when you hit the streets, when you have got to be prayed up and led by the Spirit. Is that correct? That's correct. That's one of the great things about street witnessing. You realize very, very quickly you cannot do this under your own fleshly power. 1996, I was just learning how to witness in 95, 96, and we had the Olympics in Atlanta. And so I actually was at a Christian camp all summer. I left the camp, came all the way back to Atlanta, drove about, oh gosh, how long was that? That was about 18, 19 hours back to Atlanta for the 2.5 weeks of the Olympics, and then drove back to the Christian camp to finish out the summer. Because I had decided very quickly, if Satan was going to throw a party in my town, I was going to show up at it. Okay, it didn't matter. See, I love when these guys go out and they hit all the big events, the Super Bowls and all this stuff and the Indy 500. I love when you hit those events. But you know what? Every time you go to one of those, you should run into a lot of local folk. Because that's your town, correct? This is your town. You should have so many locals there, okay, that you can't wait for people to come into your town to hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Us out-of-town people say, whoa, there's a lot of local folk here. Maybe we don't need to come back here. No, it should be that way, right, that there's so many of us out there. They would need to come from other cities and states to come to our place because we're boldly sharing our faith there. And I remember very specifically at the Olympics, there was this one street that went down by the House of Blues and all these Budweiser beer tents and stuff. And I started at the top of the street and I walked down that street. You ever walked down a street or been in an area of a town where you could literally feel the presence of evil? You know what I'm talking about? Where you can feel the thickness and the darkness of the demons. You just know this is evil, okay? I got on the top of that street. I walked down there and began to witness, okay? I got to the bottom of the street and how many people had I witnessed to? I was new in my faith. How many people did I witness to? Zero, okay? So I drove. I walked back to the next street. I walked at the top. I stood at the top of that street, and I began to what? I began to pray. This kid wasn't prayed up enough. He was going on there in his own little power, and it doesn't cut it on the streets of Atlanta or anywhere else. I stopped, and I began to pray. Father, I'm here to glorify your name. I'm here for me to use me. And I was the only one on the street. I had some other buddies out there, but they had gone to different places and stuff. I said, Father, me against, so to speak, all these people here. But you plus Jesus Christ is a majority anywhere you go. Correct? Now, it's always fun to go groups twos, threes, and fours. It's always fun to go in groups. I love group witness stuff. But sometimes there's a chance you might be the only one on that airplane, right? Only one on that train, on that bus, only one in that restaurant. So, well, I can't witness here because I don't have someone standing next to me. Is that correct? That is not correct. You plus Jesus Christ is a majority anywhere you go. Never forget that, okay? I prayed up and I said, Father, use me. It is so dark. The darkness is crazy, okay? But that means when it's dark, it's easy for your what? Light to shine, okay? We should be walking to darkness. We should find the dark areas of our towns, the dark areas of our friends that are just just living in darkness, and specifically take the light of Jesus Christ, okay? I started on the top of that street. I began to walk, okay, down that street. It took me 2.5 hours to get to the bottom of that street. Can't tell you the amazing conversations that we had on that street that time. Specifically, remember two people from England, and just great English accents. And during the Olympics in '96, we got to witness to myself. I got to witness to and hand tracts to people from 30. I think it was 33 or 34 different countries. Because see, they all came to Atlanta for the Olympics, and so I didn't have to get on a plane and go to your country. I don't fit on the flights anyway, so it was really great. So you came to my town, and I got to hand you tracks in your language. So we had tracks specifically ready for the Olympics and stuff. And I remember these two guys from England, and we were talking, and he looked at me one time, this one English guy, and he just looked at me and put his fist up, and he said, Charles Darwin. And he was banking everything upon Charles Darwin because he believed in evolution and nothing but evolution. I'll never forget this guy, okay? And it was everything Charles Darwin. Nope, Charles Darwin needed Jesus Christ, okay? And Jesus Christ, yes, Charles Darwin, no, okay? But that's the lies of the world. But it's my job to bring the truth to the lies. Is that right? That's right. That's what we bring there and do that, okay? Unlearned and ignorant men. Be careful, folks. You don't need a bunch of doctorates to share your faith in Jesus Christ. Is that right? Don't need a bunch of doctorates, okay? You need to be with Jesus Christ. And one of the great things about witnessing is you find out very quickly you don't know, you know a lot more than you think you do about the Bible. But you also find out very quickly you don't know as much as you need to know about the Bible. Okay? And that's a good thing to find out because it drives you to find answers. Birmingham, Alabama, there's a medical doctor there. And his boys heard me at a couple camps speaking. And his boys got real serious about sharing their faith. So I would go over to Birmingham and visit their family. And I would take his boys out witnessing to the bar section of Birmingham, Alabama. And they would go with, then they start witnessing at school, witnessing at University of Alabama. These kids are just really bold. And then his dad told me one time, he's a medical doctor, and this is what the dad said. He said, "Mark, I noticed three things about my boys when they began to share their faith in Jesus Christ. One, it drove them to their Bibles, drove them to it, okay? Because you want to be able to answer people's questions. Your answers are here, correct? This is what we're going to talk about over tonight and tomorrow morning. Is this where your answer is at? Two, he said, it drove them to their knees. You find out real quick, you don't be on the streets by yourself. You want protection, you want angels, you want Holy Spirit, you want it all to protect you there, okay? The other thing, it changes your prayer life. Instead of praying about all the things that you need, but Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit knows what you need, Jesus Christ knows what you need, but then we spend all of our time praying for what I need. Why am I doing that if God already knows what I need all the time? When you start witnessing, you start praying for what? All these other people you meet. And your heart is just burdened, and it just burdens as you these people that you meet. When I wrote the book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, I was doing the final edit on a plane flight. There was no one sitting next to me, so I couldn't witness to anybody, so there was no one there. So I decided to do the final edit on the flight, and I'm going through the pages of the book, and these tears begin to well up in my eyes. All these people that I had these chances to witness, I began to pray for these people again as I was just going through the book, and it just began so heavy on my heart for these people that don't know Jesus Christ. Okay, so your prayer life changed. And then the doctor said this. He said, the third thing I noticed with my boys, it drove them away from the sin that so easily entangles them. Think about that. Drove them away from the sin that so easily entangles. Because when you begin to witness and share your faith in Jesus Christ, you know what? That sporting event, that girl, that guy, that dollar bill just isn't quite as exciting anymore, is it, if you shared your faith? Is it? Doesn't even compare to it. People ask me, what are your hobbies? I said, go out and witness to people. No, really, like, what are the hobbies that you've got? I said, well, I go out and witness to people. And what? Am I supposed to play golf for 4 hours? If I have 4 hours, I'm going to go to a mall and talk with someone during 4 hours. Come on now, folks. Okay, see, it's a mindset you begin to have as you have this. So think about that. We would all love our kids and people at our churches to read the Bible more, pray more, and get away from the sins that so easily entangle them. What you're forgetting is if you would get witnessing going on and evangelism going on in your life, your kids' life, your church's life, it will drive you to reading the Bible, praying, and getting away from the sin that so easily entangles you. Does that make sense? Makes sense. Okay, so let's get back doing that, okay? Go to verse 17, 4:17, all right? But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they may speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus Christ. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. Okay? Threats, persecution is a good thing. They told them, do not speak in the name of Jesus Christ. So what did the apostles do? What did they do? They spoke in the name of Jesus Christ. See, when you get to a point like that, it's either put up or shut up time, I call it. Okay? It's either put up or shut up. Speak up or shut up. You have got to make a decision. But see, if you're already speaking up all the time anyways about Jesus Christ, when all of a sudden somebody says you can't talk about Jesus Christ, it's no big, because you're already serving and honoring God, you're going to talk about Jesus Christ anyways. Is that right? Whatever the consequences are, the consequences are. Anyone ever lost a job for Jesus Christ, for standing up for Jesus Christ? Ever lost one? You've lost one? You've lost one? Okay. Yeah, I've lost two. And every single time, God had something better for me. But my Jesus Christ was much more important to stand up for, no matter what the consequences would be. Now, we're not a jerk about it or anything like that. I try not to never be that. But I'm going to stand up for Jesus Christ no matter what the consequences are. Franklin Graham. I'm having a very big fan of Franklin Graham, actually, but he just came out on the radio this past week and was talking about how Christians, when they go to China for the Olympics, should not be handing tracts out and talking to people about Jesus Christ. Okay? He just said this on the radio flight, because see, what he said is going to happen is it's going to hurt the church movement over there in the underground church and stuff like that. Okay. According to what we just read in Acts 4:17 through 21, is that proper advice that Franklin gave?
No,
it's not proper advice for that, okay? Because you don't know what... I've been to China before, and all the policemen wear these dark green outfits. We used to call them greenies. So you always had your eyes open waiting for the greenies to come find you on the streets and try to move you on and stuff like that. How do you not know the track you're not going to hand to a greenie is going to get that police officer saved, okay? And he's going to go back and get someone else saved there. The average track booklet in China gets read by 15 people. Did you know that? 15 people. Because there's a hunger for Jesus Christ in communist countries. And see, if someone told me to go somewhere and not share my faith, that means one of two things to me. Either I don't go, okay, save your money then. What, are you going to just go over there and watch sporting events? Is that what you're going to do? I went to the Olympics, I think I was there for 2.5 weeks. My little brother went to something every single day. He's not saved, went to something every single day. I think I went to two events the whole time there. But at the events that I went to with my brother and my family, went to another one, I had tracts in my pockets, handing out to people, talking to people at the events I was at. Why? Because it's not about cycles going around some velodrome or something like that. That's not what life is about. Is that right? That's right. So I don't take advice like that. If you go to China, it's a mission trip to China. Okay, I don't care if it was called going to the Olympics. If you go to the gas station, and you might as well make it a mission trip because it's so expensive to fill up anymore, okay? Goodness gracious, okay? It's the same as going to China, about the same cost, right? And when I stand at my front door all the time. I did it today before I left Atlanta. I stand there, I put my hands up. I said, Father, I'm all yours. I said, take me, guide me, move me to the right, move me to the left. Father God, open the mouths, the hearts of people like Lydia and you did in the book of Acts. Father God, move me out here. Father God, protect me, guide me, put the right people in front of me. Divine appointments, Father, that I cannot miss. Put the right person next to me on the plane flight, Father God, with an open heart, ready for truth. Father, and as I go through this day, when I come back, if you allow me to lay my head on my pillow in Indianapolis, Father, when I put my head on my pillow, show me why I was alive today. But Father, make sure I was alive for your glory and not for my glory. I do that every day when I cross out of my house and walk out into the world. I don't care if I'm just going local. It doesn't matter because I have got to make sure when I walk out there, I'm there to glorify Jesus Christ and not Mark Cahill. Is that right? Bad piece of advice from Franklin Graham, and I'm a big fan of his because he's really pretty much straight on all the time. But this one just messed up on that one, okay? But be careful. You filter advice. I'm going to teach it tomorrow. You filter everything back through the scriptures when people say things, okay? And that one doesn't line up with the book of Acts, okay? Go to verse 31. Go to verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was what? That's my kind of prayer meeting. Shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. With boldness. The number one way to see the Holy Spirit working on someone's life is when they speak with boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing in your flesh that wants to talk about Jesus Christ. Your flesh wants to party. Your flesh wants to sin. Your flesh just wants to do worldly stuff. Your flesh wants to go to the Indy 500 and just go to the race. But your spirit says, I can't even go to events anymore. Any type of event. I hardly go to them anymore anyways. But when I'm in there and I watch all these people walking past me, because they're souls. These are souls walking off into eternity. Heaven or hell, as you speak, they're walking into eternity. And where are they going? Are they going to heaven? Are they going to hell? I don't know that till I get to ask them a few questions and find out. And you and I have the only answer for them that can stop them from going to hell. Is that correct? That's correct. Now, the Spirit of God has got to take that seed and make it grow. But it is our job, 1 Corinthians 3, to plant those seeds and to water those seeds. And who gives the increase? God does, 1 Corinthians 3. But he says he gives the increase off what we plant and what we water. We have a job to do. If you're not as bold as you want to be, pray for the boldness for that. Ephesians 6, we always know Ephesians 6 is the armor of God chapter. Read right past the armor of God, verses 18, 19, 20, 21 right there. Paul says, pray that I might preach the gospel fearlessly. That was real simple when I read it one time. You know what? If Paul needs prayer to preach it fearlessly, you can be rest assured you and I need prayer to preach it fearlessly, right? Yeah, because it's simple, man, okay? I like simple stuff, okay? And Paul's bold, man. This guy's bold. But if he needs prayer, because he knows it can't be him, it must be the Holy Spirit who comes upon you, and then you speak with what? Boldness, okay? A week ago Thursday, I had two high school basketball coaches. I actually had three. I ran them off a lot. And I had three high school basketball coaches. During 4 years, my first one I had as a ninth grader, I got moved up to varsity my ninth grade year, the last 10 games, and my brother was on that team. Is your older brother real excited when younger brother makes the same team? It wasn't good, but he loves me now. But the coach of that team died last week, and so I went to his wake, but I prayed before I walked, said, Father, use me at this wake, Father God, to glorify your name. So I go in the wake, and of course, there's the dead body in the casket. And no one's walking over there, nothing. It's like the body doesn't even exist in them. And everyone's just chitting around in little groups, chit-chatting and talking. I just started listening to people, talking basketball here, and he used to build basketball goals here, and family here. Nothing was about who? Jesus Christ, nothing. I began to talk with people. I walked up to one of his daughters, and, oh, hey, Mark, how you doing? I said, hey, Debbie, da-da-da. He said, oh, my dad remembered. He was so thankful for the letter you sent him. In the book that you sent him. I totally forgot. 3 or 4 years ago, I sent this man a letter about Jesus Christ in one of my books. Totally forgot about it, okay? But I was burdened with his soul because he was part of my life at one point, and I sent it to him. She remembered it, her brother remembered it, and her other sister all remembered the letter I sent their dad and the book that I sent. Think about that. And I didn't even remember it. Nothing about that, okay? And all of a sudden, it was just worldly stuff. I said, that's it. I went out to my car, pouring down rain. I backed it into the overhang of the funeral home, opened up the back head. Recently, I got a whole bunch of my books, okay? Walked back in the funeral home, okay, and started handing books out to people, okay? Talking, handing books out. Just gave them out, okay? Before I went out to my car, though, there was another guy there. He was before me a couple years, but I know those guys, Dorsey and Greg. So I went out, talked to him real quick, gave him a track and stuff out there real quick, gave him a business card. Hey, if you want to, one of my books, just email me, I'll send you a free copy, da 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 da. The next day, the guy Dorsey Lee, on the tracks now, we've come up with some One Heartbeat Away tracks, but on the back of it, I didn't like that one anyways. And on the back of it, they actually can come to a website we just created to get a free copy of One Heartbeat Away. The very next evening, I checked the thing. Dorsey Lee got one of these books. He signed up for a free book. 2 days later, I found out from a friend of mine that Dorsey's an atheist. He's an atheist, okay? Because someone talked with another guy later and said, yeah, Mark was talking to this guy about this stuff, but he's an atheist. I'm sorry, an atheist just went to my website to get a copy of One Heartbeat Away that's geared for lost people. We've had atheists read that book, become born again. We've had atheists read that book and get a hold of me after two chapters that I'm no longer an atheist. Okay, but can't God use a tract that's given to somebody in a short conversation, take it and make it grow, yes or no? Yes, but see, if you look at a wake as a mission, as a missionary time to do that, then that's how you look at your mindset like that. It's everyone walk out the front door, that's what we do and go do that, okay? Go to chapter 5, go to verse 27. 5:27. Okay, 5, go to 27. Okay. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Okay? Does doctrine matter, yes or no? Doctrine matters. You got to understand this. One of the problems with something called the emerging church that's going on right now is they're getting what's called soft on doctrine. Folks, we don't need to be soft on doctrine. We know exactly what our doctrine is because we need to bring truth to people. If I don't know the doctrines of the faith, I cannot bring you truth. What does a Jewish person need to hear? Truth. Truth. Okay? The doctrines, the truth of faith, and that truth by the power of the Holy Spirit is going to cut them to the heart. Okay? And what do they say? We ought to obey God rather than what?
Men.
Okay? We have got to be people that when the people watch us, look at us, they see our lives, that man, that woman obeys God. They know this is what they're supposed to do. Okay, no matter what the cost, I get public school teachers tell me all the time, well, I can't witness in a public school, it's a public school. Well, excuse me, I got a friend of mine in Orlando, Florida. This guy is one of the boldest men of God I've ever met in my life. Him and his wife go out witnessing every Friday night to a movie theater in their part of Orlando. His students ask him, hey, Mr. Wood, are you going to be at the movie theater tonight? He said, of course I'll be out there. And he doesn't go to movies. He goes out and hangs out there and witnesses people. And they say, okay, I got some friends. We want to start asking some questions. So the boys, the kids will bring their friends to the movie theater and say, oh, here's Mr. Wood. He's the guy you ask. And then bingo, they all start coming up and start firing questions at him. Okay? That's the mindset he has. He always leaves, I wrote a book, One Heartbeat Away. He leaves copies on the end of his desk, 3 or 4 copies. Kids will walk up and say, hey, Mr. Wood, what is that? And he said, well, that's a book a friend of mine wrote, da-da-da, about God and things, how to prove it. Do you like to read? It's an English class. And do you like to read? They go, yeah. I said, okay, you can have it. You just got to read it, though. Okay, and he said, okay. So they take the book. And so a couple of days later, Mr. Wood has it going, have you started that book yet? Yeah. He said, okay, do you think there's a God? And that's the first couple chapters, how to prove there's a God. And one guy went to him and said, Mr. Wood, tough kid, one of his tougher kids, he said, Mr. Wood, he said, don't even try it. He said, something can't come out of nothing. Don't even try it. Something can't come out of nothing. Don't even try it. That's one of the first arguments we do in the book is something can't come out of nothing, right? It's got to come from somewhere. Someone had to make this whole place, okay? But the young boy was reading the book, all right, and getting that information out of the book. Public school teacher, okay? One thing you do as a public school teacher, one thing you do is any place you work at, one thing you do as an athlete, whatever, in a workplace, no matter what the world, is you make sure you are a great employee, one of the best ones in the whole place. Because one thing I know about public schools is that public school principals will not get rid of good teachers. Why? They don't have enough of them. Right? They don't have enough of them. Okay? So they've got teachers. They don't have enough good ones and great ones. So if there's a great teacher, you get favor. But see, when you give your best effort inside a workplace, on a football field, a basketball court, your best effort as a school teacher, can God give you favor when you do that? Yes or no? All the time. Okay? And I have to have a mindset to be one who does that. Okay? Go to verse 40. 5:40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Anyone been beaten before for Jesus Christ? No? Anyone had a punch thrown at you? They had one thrown at you? You had one thrown at you? Okay. And to beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to what? Suffer shame for whose name? His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Daily. Your faith must be daily. Do not tell me you witnessed to someone a month ago. Okay? A month ago. 3 months ago, a year ago, you took a mission trip. Our faith is what? A daily faith. Okay, one of my goals one time is to give in a talk somewhere I go to speak at, and all the stories from the talk come from just that day of travel. Okay, just that day. And I'll tell some stories tomorrow that came from today in travel. Okay, one was Richard, a Mormon LDS that I met, that told me that when you die as a Mormon, that you can become a God when you die. Okay, now that's a teaching of Mormonism. It's a shame it's not a teaching of the Bible, though. Sounds good. Wouldn't you like to be God? Like to be God? No, if you really think about it, you really wouldn't want to be, okay? But in our pride of man, who wouldn't want to be God? Well, Richard did, but Richard can't. That's the problem. Just got back from his 2-year Mormon mission trip. Met him at the airport in Atlanta today as he's heading to Tucson to go spend time with his mother. Loves to read, so I put a book in his hand to read and began to tell him some truth and stuff like that. Okay, but think, because it's a daily faith that we walk out and do this. Go to chapter 8, okay? Go to 8, go to verse 1. 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church. Okay, let's just ask that real quick. Why is there not truthfully, and this is an honest statement, a great persecution against the American church. Say it. We're not standing up for the gospel. Because our American churches look way too much just like the world. Way too much just like the world. Why would they don't persecute themselves? Why would they persecute the church? Okay? Think about that for a second. That's a true statement if you really dig into this. Okay, we are not standing up for the gospel. Your church should be hated in your town. Okay? It really should be. Okay, because you were telling people, because that's what Andy just talked about. And what Andy talked about is no one is good enough to go to heaven. And if you tell people the truth about that, people in town who think they're good aren't going to like you. You people who street witness a lot, we go to Atlanta. We have a place called Phillips Arena. It's the big arena downtown with all the sporting events, and a lot of the concerts go there. When you're out there witnessing, most of the time, the most trouble you have from anybody are people who claim to be what? Christians. They're the ones you have the hardest time with sometimes on the street, okay? That this stuff doesn't work and da-da-da-da-da, you're wasting your time, you're not doing it the right way, you're not showing enough love and all this other stuff. Ephesians 4 says, speak the truth in what? Love. If I tell you the truth but don't love you, you're just kind of forcing it on someone's throat. If I love you but never tell you the truth, I do not love you. But if I speak the truth in love, you're the most dangerous person walking on planet Earth, trust me. You're someone God can use in all times and all places daily if you have that mindset, all right? And that's the mindset we have to have as we walk out of. Actually, not everyone should like you in your neighborhood and that, and our churches should not be, oh, everyone's welcome to come here and all this stuff. No, church is for saved people. Church isn't for lost people. It's a paradigm shift that happened with Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. They want to have where all these lost people come into church, then supposedly we give you a gospel. Usually it's very watered down, though, okay? And then you say yes to Jesus Christ and do that. No, study it in all of history. Church is for born-again believers. It's corporate worship where we come together and glorify the great, awesome God of this universe, and we just magnify and lift up his name. And if lost people want to walk in the door, fantastic. But this event really isn't for you. You can come watch, though, if you want to, okay? And learn as we preach the word. But it's to train us up. So we walk out those doors and do what? Reach this world for Jesus Christ. You know, you always see those signs in churches. You're now entering the mission field. You've seen those signs when you go to churches as you walk out the door. I walked into a church, and so I asked all the people that they had a big sign to come into the church. But when you go out the church again, the back of the sign says you're now entering the mission field. So I asked the church when I went in, I said, hey, I saw your sign out there. That's really cute. And I said, let me ask you a question. Since last Sunday to this Sunday, how many people have had a one-on-one conversation with a lost person about sin, salvation, judgment to come and told someone the truth about Jesus Christ and what it takes to be born again and saved? Be honest, I said, raise your hand up. And in that church, there were about 3 to 4 people that raised their hand up. I said, well, then let me ask you a question. Why do you have that sign back that says you're now entering the mission field? What's that doing here? I said, you've got 2 choices at this point. I said, some of you men back there, and it was a nice country place. I said, go home this afternoon, get some chainsaws, okay, come back here, and let's just chop that puppy down because we're not obeying it. Let's just chop it and get out of the way so we don't feel guilty every day we leave church. Or why don't we just leave it up and do what? Do what it says. Obey what it says. Wouldn't it be a lot easier to do it that way? But see, that's really church. Sometimes you can have more church on a Sunday morning at an Indy 500 Speedway than you can have many Sunday mornings in churches where you're really not doing church anyways. Okay, think about that for a second, right? But watch what it says in verse 1. And it was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, okay? Persecution is a bad thing? No, because it scatters you out to other places. Go to verse 4. Therefore, that they were scattered abroad went everywhere, what? Preaching the word. Preaching the word, okay? So if you get scattered, you have to go somewhere else. If a flight gets canceled, which happens to me every now and then when I travel, I get frustrated very quickly, real quickly, and then I calm down, and then I realize, okay, God, show me why I'm not on that plane flight. All right? Then all of a sudden, a little bit later, I'll be witnessing somebody. I'll just deepen this conversation. Then I realize, oh, I would have never met this person if I'd have been on that other flight. I see, persecution is not a bad thing. I had a police officer completely 100% wrong at this one event, but he made me move to this other spot. And I didn't want to get arrested this day. I didn't want to do it because it was a weekend. I knew it was going to be an issue, so I just decided I was going to obey him. He was 100% wrong. And we came back and worked with the city, and they were 100% wrong, and they knew they were 100% wrong too. But he moved me to this other spot. I said, okay, Father, Show me why I'm standing at this spot witnessing at this vessel, not where I usually am at. Show me why. And all of a sudden, just a little bit later, someone walks by and this fascinating talk occurred, but it would have happened if I'd have been in my other spot. So persecution is not a bad thing as long as the glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? That's right, okay? I work with a Christian law firm, and if you ever run into any trouble, there's a great website, www.christianlaw.org, christianlaw.org. It's a missionary group, a legal missionary group out of Tampa, Florida, St. Pete. And what they do is they will help you any way if you run into any legal issues, christianlaw.org. So they work for free. They charge you nothing, zero. Okay, they will answer your phone call. We actually sued a mall in Atlanta over free speech rights, and we went all the way to the Georgia State Supreme Court. We went to the highest court in Georgia over the issue. They did the whole case for me for nothing. The other side, the mall spent over $100,000 to keep Christians out of the malls in Georgia. Isn't that interesting? They want your money at Christmas, don't they? Want your money at Easter, just don't want your Jesus Christ. See, you learn something from this, you get to do this, okay? And they told me, so if you ever have, they'll call them up, they'll help you out. They've helped a lot of teenagers out, especially in public school environments, what they can and can't do and stuff like that. But they were telling me a story, this one street preacher in San Diego got arrested and he got put in jail. And they brought the stuff, he was still in jail, they brought the stuff to the district attorney. The district attorney said, get the man out of jail. What he's doing is legal. Because a lot of times police on the street don't always know the law. Is that correct? That's correct. What they want is you out of there is all they want, okay? Because it's out of the ordinary. They want smooth and easy. And if you're a police officer, you want the exact same thing. You want smooth and easy. But as I reminded a police officer the other day, I said, remember, sir, you're out here to protect my rights. I reminded him, I said, sir, you're out here to protect my rights because I pay your salary. My taxes pay his salary, correct? Yes, they do. I said, you're out here not just to protect these people, you're out here to protect my rights too. And my rights say I can be on a public sidewalk telling people about Jesus Christ. And it's funny, he backed down because he knew that's part of his job is to do that. But he did, so I try to be nice about it, but I'm trying to stand up for what we do because I don't, we've backed down enough. Amen. As American Christians, correct? Right. We've backed down enough. There's only so far you can back up till you're finally against the wall. I think we're past the wall, folks. Okay, we need to start marching forward and moving forward. Okay, this law firm told me they had a, one of their, street preachers, he got arrested in San Diego, thrown in jail. District attorney says, get him out of there. They go to the jail. The police said, okay, yeah, you're out. You're gone, da-da-da-da-da. You're fine. Everything's fine. You're out of here. The guy said, excuse me. I said, can I have about 10 more minutes? He was talking with the guy in the jail and did not want to get out, okay? They left him in the jail, okay? Because he wasn't done yet, and this prisoner eventually wanted to repent of his sins and become born again, okay? But see, he wouldn't have met him on the street. He met him in the jail. Persecution's not a bad thing. A guy I know, he took a whole bunch of kids witnessing at a mall. Well, the security guard didn't want the kids witnessing the mall, and it's different issues in different states on private property, public property, so malls are a little bit different. And so he said, okay. He said, he wanted all of your kids out of here. He said, okay. He said, so the guy looked at the police. He said, why don't you walk around with me and help me find these kids? So he said, okay. So the police officer walked around the mall with him, okay. Well, this guy's walking around the mall looking for his kids and can't seem to find them for some reason. And he's walking. After about 45 minutes, the police officer repented of his sins and became born again. What he did was and witnessed him as he walked. He said, you know what we're doing out here, don't you? And he began to walk and share with him and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, the conviction came upon him. See, persecution's not a bad thing. All that's going on is you're moving to another spot to share Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? So even tomorrow, if something that happens tomorrow night or even tomorrow Sunday morning at the racetrack, even if something occurs, but it's going to be fine, I'm pretty sure, because you guys go out there every single year and you know the spots to be in. But even if something occurs, okay, many times because you're moving to another spot to do that, I just got an email from a guy in Don Blythe. He's in Sacramento, California. This guy is crazy. He witnesses in front of abortion clinics, okay? And he witnesses. He talks with people. He talks with ladies going in. He will do anything for anybody. He will promise the ladies he'll buy them shoes. He'll buy them. He'll buy them anything. Okay, he blesses people, he shares truth, he's just the total package. I love this guy, okay? He sent me a picture about a year and a half ago. I wrote a book called One Heartbeat Away with a flatline symbol on it. And he sent me a picture of the abortion doctor walking into the abortion clinic with a copy of One Heartbeat Away. the abortion doctor made the commitment, okay, that he would read that book. Because Don's been witnessing to him, and all of a sudden the Spirit's been working on him. But he's such a nice guy in how he does it, the abortion doctor listens to him. Think about that for a second. And with a flatline symbol, one heartbeat, you don't think an abortion doctor knows what that means? After all the babies he has killed and murdered in his practice? Think about that for a second. He was out at a church, and they were having Brennan Manning speak. You heard of Brennan Manning, okay? He's a Catholic priest, okay, but he's been speaking. It's a lot of this emergent church with contemplative spirituality. Be very, very careful of these things, okay? Well, he was speaking at a big church. So this guy went out to the church to street preach and hand out literature to people about really what this man teaches from his own writings. Just use his own truth right back at him. And as soon as he gets out there, a police officer, deputy sheriff, walks up and said, excuse me. He said, there's already been a pre-something done on you that if you showed up, that we were to have you thrown off this public sidewalk, okay, and or arrested. The church that was having the Brennan Manning speak at it had already called the police and said, if this man shows up outside of our church, get rid of him and have him arrested. Now, what's wrong with this picture? Okay, something wrong with this picture, okay? Instead of saying, well, wait a minute, why would the man even show up? What's he got to say that maybe I need to listen to? Might be nice, okay? But why did this happen? And so Don looked at him and said, well, excuse me, I've already talked with your supervisor, and your supervisor has told me that it is okay and fine for me to be on this street sharing my faith in Jesus Christ. He had already one-upped him, okay, because he knows a lot of people to know. So the guy had to back down. So the police officer was there and listened to him preach for like an hour. Then everybody went in. So the police officer, he said, why are you out here what you're doing? Why are you out here doing what you do? Bingo, they began to talk. They began to talk. See, persecution came and he didn't back up. He stood his ground, began to talk. All of a sudden he says, hey, this is Sacramento, California. They finished up. He said, do you like to read? And the police officer said, I love to read. He said, have you ever heard of a guy named Mark Cahill? He said, yeah, he was a college basketball player. And the guy said, what? There was a guy in Sacramento, California, a police officer, when he handed him the book One Heartbeat Away, the guy remembered me from all the way back 20-some years ago when I played college basketball on the other side of America. But somehow the guy had it stuck in his head. But how can those two people meet on the side of a street as a police officer who wants the guy out of here, but if he would have left right away, that would have never happened an hour later? Do you see the wonderful God we serve? If we would just continue to live and want to see these divine appointments that the Lord does, okay? I've got... I'm on page 3 of 7 pages of notes, and I've got 7 minutes. This is going to be fun. Let's go to, I'm going to skip a few things here. Let's go to chapter 8. Let's go to verse 28. I never know how long a talk is. I just start writing things down, and then whatever happens, happens. Go to 28. Was returning and sitting in his chariot. Oh, this is the story of Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch. And was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip did what? He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? He ran to him. Be honest. Are there some people in your life you need to run to, yes or no? Yes, we need to start running to people. Running to people, okay? There's certain people you're going to hand a track to that won't take it, and you're literally going to do a U-turn, going to pivot on your foot and start walking after them, okay? I've walked after people before. Not to do anything, but certain people you know you just want to talk to. You want to see what makes them tick, okay? And I've had certain people stop that wouldn't stop before, okay? I was in Atlanta we have the SEC big football tournament every year. 2 years ago, there's this scalper keeps walking past me. He will not take a track. He will not talk with me, nothing. Okay, he keeps walking past me. I keep trying, nothing, okay? Nothing's working, okay? And I finally said, excuse me, sir. I said, as you walk past me again, okay, just being a smart aleck, okay? I said, why do you hate Jesus Christ so much? That's what I said. He pivots on his foot. He said, you didn't have to go there. He said, I didn't tell you I hate Jesus Christ. Sir, I said, you can't hate me. I said, you don't know me. I said, you must hate Jesus. I said, why do you hate Jesus Christ so much? He came back. We ended up having a 30-minute talk standing there, okay? Because I was running out. I wanted to talk to this guy so bad. A couple weeks ago, There was this one scalper outside the Bon Jovi concert, and we were witnessing. And I was trying to witness to this guy. He would not stop. He would not take a drink. He wouldn't give me the time of day. He finally walked past. I said, "Sir, a question for you as you walk past me again." I said, "If you died tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven?" Just kept walking past. Nothing. Okay. Night ended. Bon Jovi played two nights in a row, so we go back downtown again. And all of a sudden, the scalper starts walking up to me. I didn't know what was going on. He was walking up. He said, "Hey, remember last night when you asked me the question, if you died tonight, are you 100% assured you go to heaven?" I said, "Yeah." I said, I walked away from that. I started thinking about that question. See, folks, you don't know what can happen when you toss a question out there. They can go home and lay in their bed and begin to wrestle with that and wrestle with that. He said, I began to think about that. And I began to realize I would not be 100% assured that I would go to heaven. I wouldn't be assured at all. He said, matter of fact, I was reading part of your book last night. I said, "Excuse me, sir." I said, "I remembered you last night." I said, "I didn't give you a book last night." He said, "Oh, you witnessed to my wife earlier in the evening and gave her one of your books." He went home that night and started reading the book that I gave his wife that I witnessed to earlier that evening. Think about this now. He said, "Can I have your other book?" Because he was reading on the back about the other book. And I got to give him the other one and stuff. And all of a sudden, so when I see this guy downtown again, an event, something. But see, just throwing it out there, being faithful, watch what God can do. When that happens, go to verse 20, go to 9:20. 9:20. Talking about Paul, and straightway, yours might say, what's the other word right there? And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Immediately. When people get born again and saved, they do not. I was at a church one time, and they had this little baseball diamond thing up here. Class 101 is how to become part of the church. 201 is something, discipleship. 301. And then 401, going back to home base, was evangelism, sharing your faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that was only going to take you about 6, 8 months or a year to get back here to home base and do that. Absolutely not. He immediately went to synagogues and told these people the truth, because Paul was what? A Jew. That means he realized at that moment he had been what? Lied to his entire life about Messiah. And it so bothered him, he immediately went back where? To the synagogue. Folks, we got lied to. Let me tell you the truth, okay? When someone gets born again and saved, they need to immediately begin sharing their faith in Jesus Christ. I tell them all the time, if they truly want to repent, and I talk about all kinds of things, repentance, the cross, the resurrection, count the cost. I actually try to talk people out of sharing, committing their life to Jesus Christ. I try to talk them out of it, usually a lot of times right at the end. And just let them know it's a tough life. It's not a smooth, easy life becoming a Christian. Is that correct? Not this type of Christian or the type we're going to be as witnesses for Jesus Christ. American Christianity can be smooth, but not biblical Christianity can't be smooth. Okay, and there's a huge difference, okay? I have been able to talk people out of it, accepting Jesus Christ, which was fine. That all it meant was that I talked them into it. Okay, I want to make sure the Spirit of God's walking them into this, drawing them into this, John 6, okay? Because if Mark Cahill disappears out of your life, or if you disappear out of the life from the Indy 500, as long as they have, and that's what you had with the Ethiopian eunuch, he had the Holy Spirit and he had the parchments, he had the Bible. If you're a lost person with the Holy Spirit and the Bible, you're going to be okay in the coming days, trust me. You'll be okay. Get you plugged into a church and watch the Spirit take it and grow from there. Does that make sense? Okay, so I would try to talk him out of it, and because I just want to make sure I didn't talk him into it. And immediately, I always tell them when they say this to Jesus, I tell you, tell five people today the decision you've made. Five people today the decision you made. Because if you learn from day one, this is part of what we do. We stand up for Jesus Christ. And then if anyone accepts Christ, when you're out there, take them with you. Hey, join our group for the next 30 minutes. Next hour, walk with us here. Because we're going to teach you what you do as a believer in Jesus Christ. We go tell everybody. Is that correct? Is that correct? Yeah. Everybody. Everybody. One of the problems is in churches, as soon as you mention the word evangelism, everybody heads for the hills. Heads for the hills. Except that should be the biggest conference we ever have at any church anywhere. Because we all want to get better at that. I'm always reading books on evangelism. I'm reading Andy's newsletters and stuff. I'm always reading stuff about it, okay? Because I want to learn things. I want to pick up things. I want to be better at what we all do. Because when you follow Jesus Christ, you automatically become a fisher of men, okay? I'm going to skip past all these. This was good stuff I worked on. Oh, goodness. And no, we'll do two more verses and we're going to take a break for you. That was Wow, that hurt. And go to verse 26. So, I'm sorry, chapter 26. Look at all that we're passing, man. Oh, duh, don't do this. I spent late nights working on that. And go to Acts 26. Close up with something good for you, okay? And go to 22. Go to Acts 26 and go to 22. Watch what it says. Two verses and we're done. 26 and 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. He's preaching the word. He's telling the truth out of the scriptures. And whenever you use the Ten Commandments, you're preaching the word to people. Trust me, okay? And 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first, and that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles, okay? We must be people who persevere. We continue on to this day. We persevere. Okay? Don't give in and don't give up. If you have a tough conversation, ever had some tough ones out there before? Plenty of tough conversations, okay? Tough ones. I've had tough nights before, all right? If you ever have a really tough conversation, you do not give in. You persevere. You step away once it's done. You get your group and you begin to pray. Father, pick me back up. I'm here to glorify you. Because remember, when persecution comes your way, that's usually a good thing because you got close to their heart. You're pricking close to their heart, and sometimes they have to come up with a defense mechanism to try to get you away. So when someone gets verbal, gets loud, something like that, don't let them throw you that. I think you probably did something great because you got really close to their heart. Now they got to knock you away a little bit because you got too close there. We persevere almost every single time. I'm in a mall somewhere, and I have a tough conversation, a really tough one. Within one to two conversations, three by the most, but usually one or two, there is a sweet, beautiful conversation waiting on you. Beautiful conversation. If you won't give up and you'll persevere, you'll see that. If you give in and throw the towel in, okay, then you don't see that. And any of you were athletic in life, that's the one thing you know you can't do. 2 minutes left in the game, 8 points down. You don't give up at this point. Anything's possible. Is that correct? Right? Anything's possible. If you know any from the scriptures, folks, we're running out of time, are we not? Satan says in the book of Revelations, he knows the time is short. And if you know the time is short in sports, you have to pick the pace up. We got to pick the pace up, okay? And persevere. And we don't give in. Your last dying breath, you'd want to be sharing with a nurse or a doctor in a hospital. I had a doctor get a hold of me, and this doctor wrote me, and he said, Mark, he said, doctors and nurses are the last line of defense before someone takes their last breath and dies and goes to hell. What a statement from a doctor. He knows what his job is, not take care of you just physically, but spiritually. I was just in Pittsburgh, speaking up there, and I stayed with this doctor, and he's a cardiologist. You think he sees life and death? Okay. He witnesses to 100% of his patients. 100%. Okay. 100% of his patients he witnesses to. He hands them a track to start with, how to take care of yourself physically to eat correctly, how to exercise correctly. Then the third part of track is how to take care of yourself spiritually. And the whole third part's all about what? Jesus Christ. Then he verbally witnesses. He says, Mark, he said, in this hospital, most cardiologists have 8 to 9, 10 patients. He said, Mark, I've got 80. 80 patients. This man physically almost can't keep up with all the patients he has because God keeps bringing him people with heart problems, correct? Because he knows this man's going to what? Tell him the truth about Jesus Christ. Think about that. Some of you businessmen, we always worry about, what if I start being bold for Jesus Christ? What if I do this and the person leaves and I lose their money that walks out the door? I had a dentist come up to me in Kansas City. He said, I heard your talk. I heard everything. I know I'm supposed to be sharing my faith, but if I do that, I'm worried about losing patients, which means he loses what? Money, which is always us guys worry about this. I said, oh, I get it. I said, I get it. I said, you believe in that God that if a patient left, that he couldn't bring 10 or 15 more people to fill that spot right there. I said, I get it. And he started smiling. I said, let's pray and just see what God does. He said, okay. So I put my hands, I prayed on myself like to be a bold, righteous God, man of God at work every single day. I flew home. I got back to Atlanta on Monday night. I had an email from Dr. Rory when I got home. He said, Mark, I went to work on Monday. I witnessed to 16 different patients and staff here at the dentist's office. Two of the people came in my office, wanted to repent of their sins and become born again. He said, you would not believe how day one went. So I emailed him back and said, by the way, how's day two going to go? Because Satan's not going to sit by as you start planting seeds and becoming a soul winner. That's when he's going to mess with you and do that, okay? Go to 25, and then we'll close it for you. Go to 26, chapter 20, in verse 25. Okay, watch what it says. Fascinating piece of scripture. Verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things before whom also I speak freely. For I'm not persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, but this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus Christ did not die in a corner. He died publicly. 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me, okay, to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest. None of this was done. Jesus Christ died publicly. He rose from the dead publicly. We have no right to live our faith privately. No right to live your faith privately. If Jesus did all of this publicly, we must be public about it. Almost persuaded isn't good enough. Okay? Almost being persuaded isn't good enough. And go back to 26 verse 17. I'll close it right here. I wanted to make sure I hit this. Go to 26 and go to verse 17 and 18. Ah, this is amazing. This is on my answering machine right now. 26, 17, 18. Delivering thee from people, from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Watch what it says in 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. People need to turn. What's the other word for that? Repent. The word repent, it shows up 106 different times in that form or some form in the Bible. 10 times in the book of Acts, it says, okay? This is a big transition to go from light to darkness, okay? Think about that, to open it, to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And I had a message on my answer machine this week and from a 21-year-old young man that I met as a 12-year-old. I met 12, he's 21 now. We did a conference in Reno, Nevada, how to share your faith in Jesus Christ like we did at the at College Park last year. But when we finished, we hit the streets. We went to a mall. We all went witnessing at a mall. You'll hit the streets tomorrow night, a Sunday morning, hit the streets and go practice. We went witnessing at the mall, and we came back like 3 hours later to start the night session. And I walked in the place. There was this little kid sitting on the back, a little tiny kid, blonde, fluffy hair, just sitting back there. And we're sitting in the back there. And he was just crying, just sitting there crying and stuff like that. And so I walked back there, kind of trying to put my arm around him to see what was up. So finally he stopped crying. I said, what's up? He said, I have been praying for God to show me what my ministry is going to be. I'm like, dude, you're 12. What do you mean? 12, a skateboard or something. I mean, what do you mean praying for God to show you? But folks, let me tell you something. In the end of days, God is going to raise up some warriors for Jesus Christ that are going to look just like teenagers because he's maturing some of them so quickly because he's going to use them in a mighty, righteous way in the coming days. But you know what? Those 12-year-olds will see us older folk and they can just follow right along on our path. The problem is many of these young folk cannot see older folk, especially their mom and dad, being righteously just so bold for Jesus Christ, so radical for Jesus Christ. Let that never be named amongst you in your church. Never that be named amongst you. You are that man. You are that woman that's taking territory, walking forward, helping people turn from darkness unto light, okay? And if you die and Satan takes you out, that's fine. There's about 20 more people to plug your spot because they saw you living like that. Do you understand what I just said? Okay, we got to be those type of people. And the little boy said, he said, I've been praying for God to show me what my ministry is going to be. He said, and now I know. All we had to do was take him witnessing. He started witnessing at 12. He has witnessed all the last 9 years of his life. Him and his buddies, he's a homeschool kid. He would do his PE credit, and he would always go skateboarding. He loves to skateboard, but every time he'd skateboard, he'd witness to at least one person every single time he skateboarded, at least one. He told me one time he went to the skateboard park in Reno. There was a 70-year-old man sitting on a bench. So he went down, parked his skateboard, sat down, began to what? Talk to him. Just began to talk, and then he switched into witnessing. We'll teach you that tomorrow morning. Just switched it into witnessing. 45 minutes later, the 7-year-old man wanted to repent of his sins and become born again. See, the kid had a mindset. Him and his buddies, teenagers, used to walk the streets in front of the casinos in Reno, Nevada. Think about this now, just the casinos, and just witness people coming in and out. Late night, 12, 1 o'clock at night, they'd be out there, because that's when you can meet lost people. You meet a whole different crowd at midnight than you do at noon, right? It's a whole different crowd at that time, okay? But some people ease down late at night, and they'll open up and talk more, okay? And this kid is 21 now, bold as all get out. And this is what he said on my answering machine. He listened to that verse, and he loved it. He was the first one to point the verse out to me, too. He said, think about this, quote, God chooses to use carnal men who were once in darkness that he brought to light as his torchbearers of the light of the world. He uses us who are the ones in darkness, okay, to boldly stand up for Jesus Christ, okay? And think about it. He uses carnal men to walk back in the darkness we were once of, right? And to give them the truth so he can take them and turn them from darkness into light. You know what? If I was God, I'd never use carnal men to do that. I'd find a different way. I would just find a different way. But isn't it nice to know he'll use messed up sinners like us? Amen. Who are born again, saved by Jesus Christ? Because see, we're men and women of action. The whole book is about action. Okay, we must be active people in our faith, that we can't wait to get out of our evangelism conferences, can't wait to get out of our conferences, can't wait to get out of our Sunday morning churches and start walking these streets and telling the lost the truth about Jesus Christ and turn them from darkness unto light, from Satan unto God, okay? Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for the book of Acts. Just such a powerful book, Father God, what the early church did. But the problem, Father God, is a lot of the later church doesn't do what the early church did. We are not out there active in doing it. But Father, it's a new day. Today is a new day. And today is the day we can walk out and get into conversation like Montana, the lady behind the counter.